نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah from you, demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'idu. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the fire. Tonight we just wanted to take a look at last week's conference in Tampa, Florida, and a look at the Sheikh's talk earlier this week, Abu Ishaq al-Huwayni, hafizahullah. I prepared this talk and some questions and answers, inshallah ta'ala. I thought that it might help make the topic a little more interesting, inshallah. Which conference should we go to if we go to any of the conferences that take place in America? We should go to the conferences that are sponsored by the people who adhere to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and follow the way of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'een and the Ulama of this deen, or in one word, the Salafi conferences. Why should we go to these conferences? To benefit by increasing our knowledge. The purpose of these conferences is to have a series of talks and lectures on various topics in this deen, for the purpose of disseminating this knowledge, and we would attend in order to increase our knowledge in this deen as we sit in the masjids, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn this deen. Also, the conferences are one of the avenues to increase our knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the statements of the ulama from amongst the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'een and the other ulama of this deen. Is one of the conferences better than the other? It depends on who's answering that question. Is one conference better than the other? It depends on who's answering that question. If a person is in need of a particular knowledge in Islam, and he knows, on the other hand, other particular knowledges of this deen, if one conference is dealing with the knowledge that he knows, and the other is dealing with the knowledge that he doesn't know, then how do you think he'd answer that question? If somebody doesn't know something, or he doesn't know a particular subject in Islam, and then he knows a particular subject in Islam, and one of the conferences is covering the subject that he knows already, and the other conference is holding the topic that he doesn't know. If you ask him which conference you think is going to be better, he's going to say the one with the knowledge that he doesn't know, because it's going to benefit him more so than the other topic of the one that he already knows. So this is one of the answers that you get oftentimes from the people when you ask them what conference is better. And they're answering in light of this. Well, that they're covering topics I already know, but this, they're covering topics that need to be known. Like sometimes when the issue of marriage and divorce or family issues, which is always a hot topic, everyone wants to increase their knowledge in. Whoever chooses that subject for their conference, okay, they might be a lot more popular than someone who chooses a topic that everyone feels like they know. I mean, Allah increase us in knowledge in general. Also, you can get an answer to this question, what conference is better, if you have one individual with allegiance to one of the organizations that's sponsoring a conference, and he's disassociating himself from the other organization that's also having a conference, how do you think he'll answer the question, which conference is better? Of course, the one he's affiliated with or associates with is going to say they have the better conference, and the one that he's not affiliated with, he's going to say that that one is less or not as good as the one of which he affiliates himself with. I wanted to bring this or to pose this question in these scenarios so that we look, inshallah ta'ala, at the conferences not in light of which conference is better, but to look at the goal and the objective of the conferences who try to present the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of our Salaf al-Saleh, and that they're trying to benefit the people by disseminating the knowledge. And if you go to what conference you go to, inshallah ta'ala, you'll benefit. I wanted to pose those questions so that we don't get into some of the trivial arguments that many of the people have gotten into, which conference is best and why you should go to that one over this. It's not a time to argue over that. Like someone might be arguing Wednesday's class is better than Tuesday's class, or Friday's class is better than Monday's class, or whatever. Someone wants to increase his knowledge in this deen, and he listens or he's aware of whatever subjects will be presented and he likes it, then let him attend and try to benefit, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. In light of that, we ask the question, what should be our position towards these organizations that hold these conferences? Should be that of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says when he says, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, and work together with one another on al-birri wa taqwa, and don't work together with one another on ithm wal udwan. Work together on what's good and right, and don't work together on what's bad and wrong. If the conferences are set up to call and to disseminate the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, work with them on that. If the conferences are set up, as some of them are, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, they're set up to be social gatherings and free intermingling between the men and the women, and the open partake of the haram of music and carrying on, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, then someone's not going to be favorable towards working with those people and their conferences or supporting them in it. Or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and exhort one another with truth and exhort one another with patience. That's our position with the different organizations that hold these conferences, that we will help one another to the spread of the truth and with patience, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, and Allah knows best. Which organization should we get down with, or be a part of, or join? Forgive me for this answer, inshallah. From what I know, these organizations that hold the conferences, they haven't called anyone to get down with their organization or to join their organization. However, some people still have slave mentality, so getting down with anyone but his own people is his program. The thing I can't understand is why are they calling us to get down when we recognize slavery as being over? This question and this answer is around the issue that I ask Allah to save us from, that many of the people have gotten caught up into. Which organization are you with so that everybody can fight against each other? And the organizations themselves are not calling the people to that type of allegiance for the people to be fighting against one another, as took place with this conference and conferences before this, where you find a group of brothers, I ain't going to that conference because this organization is better than that organization. And I'm with this one and I'm not with that one. And the other people are saying the opposite. And the organizations are saying, we're only set up to have a conference to benefit whoever comes to try to spread the knowledge. What the people fighting over, who they down with, the organization's not like that. It's not even set up like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Except with the exception of maybe some organizations that have a loose type of membership. And that's only, from what I know of the organizations, is to simply raise money from its members in order to keep the activities of the organization ongoing. And those activities are just basically the dissemination of the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are the organization, these organizations and their conferences beneficial? Yes. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says in the authentic hadith, "Addalu ala al-khayri kafa'ilihi," that the one who calls to good is just like the one who does good. And these organizations who bring in the people of knowledge from amongst the ulama and the students of knowledge, and they bring them and have them for a couple of days presenting a series of lectures on different subjects in order that the people might participate and benefit from this knowledge, then this is just like the person who is actually doing the good himself by calling the people or showing the people to that good. So these organizations, these conferences, they have their benefit for the people by making this knowledge available. What are some of the benefits of the conferences? I kind of summarize this up in 2 points, that the main benefits seem to be from the conferences of sitting with the people of knowledge, being the one, and on the other hand, meeting Muslims from around the country and all around the world. And if there would be a point number 3, and it seems like those 2 points cover it, point number 3 would be everything that stems from point number 1 and number 2. Sitting with the people of knowledge so that you learn the character of the people of knowledge, who usually represent the character of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says, "Innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama," that the only people who really fear Allah are the people of knowledge. And you see that when you meet the people of knowledge and their character and the way that they carry themselves, and inshallah ta'ala, it could benefit if we take the advice of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum." Well, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, whoever imitates a people is from amongst them. And this way, using the hadith on the side that it's not often used on, that if you imitate the people who are good, then you will be from amongst the good people. Or that we might benefit from sitting with the people of knowledge, because if you sit with the people of knowledge, what makes them the people of knowledge is their quotations from the Quran and their quotations of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you sit with the people of knowledge, the best you can do is to be hit with Allah says this, Allah says that, Allah says this, Allah says that, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that, and you can benefit from this knowledge. Or as most of the people usually take advantage of this time of sitting with the people of knowledge, of presenting your questions to the people of knowledge, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala commands us with the statement, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and ask the people of knowledge when you don't know. So this is from amongst the benefits that we get if we sit with the knowledge, and the benefits of meeting the people, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us amongst the reasons of our creation so that we can meet one another. Or one of the reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us differently is so that we can get to know one another. As Allah ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nasu inna khalaqanakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila li ta'arafu inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Al-ayah. Allah Ta'ala says, O humanity, indeed I have created you from a male and a female and made you into nations and tribes so that you may know one another. Indeed, the noblest in the sight of Allah is the one with the most taqwa. How are you going to get to know one another if you never even meet your brother? You don't even know his name. If there's somebody in a city or another state in America and you never go to that state and he never comes to your state, how are you going to meet each other? How are you going to get to know one another? By going to the conference. And this is how we get the benefit at the conferences, by meeting the different Muslims. And then when you meet the Muslims, then all kind of good trickles from that. The love in the hearts, as the Prophet ﷺ taught us, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Should I not show you something that if you did it, you would love one another? Spread the salams amongst yourselves, and you get a chance to spread the salams to the Muslims. And also, as most of us look at this world and what we benefit from it, that you meet Muslims, and the Muslims have different businesses, different trades, passing on information, people telling you about their communities, how things are going in their area, what stems from it is. Oftentimes people move to another area or visit another area, checking other areas out, because at the conference you met somebody from one area, he said what was happening, how things were going in that area, and so on and so forth. And it's an encouragement to move to other areas, which leads us to our next question. What did I particularly find beneficial from this conference in Tampa? I found that many of the people, or I heard that, I found that many of the people have mentioned EO with good, and that many of them were very inquisitive about what is actually going on there in EO. And many of them, and this even makes us more happy, many of them were planning to visit us here in EO. And that was from amongst the people there at the conference, and also from amongst the shuyukh who participated. Even though Tuesday night we were at the airport waiting for them, and I don't know what mix-up took place, as they had to land in at one airlines, and then they had to go across to another terminal to another airlines, and we're waiting there in between. We heard they left from their flight in Florida. They went to the airport. They should have been arriving. The plane arrived. I don't know what happened, but we missed them. And this was from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it was good to know that the people have mentioned us with good, and it reminds me of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And I hope that this is the case of the people mentioning us with good. And that's the statement of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى إِذَا أَحَبَّ عَبْدًا دَعَى جِبْرِيلَ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحِبَّهُ فَيُحِبُّهُ جِبْرِيلَ ثم ينادي في السماء فيقول إن الله تعالى يحب فلانا فأحبوه فيحبه أهل السماء ثم يوضع له القبول في الأرض. To the end of that hadith collected by Imam Muslim, where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, indeed Allah Ta'ala, if he loves a servant, then he calls Jibreel and he says, indeed I love so and so, so I command you to love him. And then Jibreel loves him. And then Jibreel calls to the people in the heavens, referring to the angels, indeed Allah Ta'ala loves so-and-so, and I command you to love so-and-so. So the people of the heavens, referring to the angels, so they love him. And then acceptance for him is earned on earth. We hope that this is the case, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. From amongst the ulama, or the students of knowledge, that was eager to visit our place was the Shaykh Suhaib Hassan, who had to hurry and leave from the conference and wasn't able to pass through on the way, but he had given us his word that after the Hajj, inshallah ta'ala, when his schedule will be free, that he would love to come and visit us here in East Orange, and we plan to schedule a date for him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us successful in that. Also, I might have found particularly beneficial from this conference is that there were professors from the Islamic University of Medina. And the professors from the University of Medina, when they travel representing the University of Medina, meaning on their expenses. And many of us are in need of increasing our knowledge of this deen. And this is one of the fine avenues to increase our knowledge of this deen by studying and the University of Medina. And I'm not just saying it because I studied there, but as I've said in the past, that whatever opportunity we get to increase ourselves in the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah and to sit with the people of knowledge, then we have to take advantage of that. But Medina, more so than the other places, because it's the city of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he had said, when the people were leaving Medina, Al-Madinatu khayrun lahum law kanu ya'lamun. Medina is better for them if they only knew. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he was saying this because the people were leaving Medina. And I was thinking about this when we were in Tampa, as the weather was spectacular. As it is the case in Mecca. And when the Muslims left to Medina, Medina has a winter. And with the winter comes with one of the brothers' statement that I asked him, why don't you come visit us in East Orange? He said, because of the flu. I'm afraid of it. And I said, subhanallah al-azim, something that we live with it every winter, and you never even think that there could be an area where the weather is so nice that the people are rarely tested with the flu and fever and cold and what have you. And this was the case when they arrived in Al-Madinah, that the people were sick with bad fevers and what have you, and they wanted to return back to Mecca because the weather was better. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said Medina is better for them if they only knew. And in some of the other cases, other people wanted to leave Medina because outside of the Arabian Peninsula, when you get up to the Sham area, outside of the desert, then there's a lot more greenery and more fruits and more vegetables and more of this dunya. And the people wanted to leave for that instead of being in the city of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. So in this light, in light of the statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we place the University of Medina, because it's in the city of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, over other places in light of taking the virtues of making salat at the Prophet's masjid, which is 1,000 times the salat at any other masjid, as it's been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and being only a walking distance from the masjid Quba, the first masjid established on taqwa, as it comes in the Quran, and this is one of the meanings of that ayah in Surah At-Tawbah. The masjid that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam visited every single week, either walking to that masjid or riding to that masjid, Masjid Quba, and it's been authentically reported on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and some authentic hadith that the reward for salat in that masjid is like the performance of an umrah. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam teaches us that the performance of one umrah to the next umrah is an atonement for the sins committed in between those two umrahs. So this is virtues for us in being in the city of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the ways, one of the few ways in these days and times to earn residency in the city of the Messenger alayhi wasallam is by being a student in the university. So this was one of the benefits, being able to be with some of the teachers of the university, and some of the brothers have brought their papers there in order to apply to the university. And what we mean by papers is copies of their passport, transcripts either from high school or college, a doctor's note showing that they're in pretty good physical shape, a recommendation letter from the imam or whoever is in charge of the masjid or the Islamic center, maybe a letter of intent why you want to study at the university. Like this, what we mean when we say papers, that the people presented their papers, something to show who they are, what they're about, their past record, and what have you. And they were saying that they'll put their brother's papers, inshallah ta'ala, to the university in hopes that some of the people might be accepted. Also, the university there, that they'll put in a good word for us, that if we wrote the university asking some of the teachers to come to our masjid for a conference or some days or what have you, then the university, they would put in a good word for us to make sure that the university accepted our request if we requested some of the teachers to come visit us here at our masjid. And the university takes very well, very good care of those teachers. As they rode in first class on the Saudi Arabian Airlines, which is about $6,000 round trip from here to America. So you can imagine even the teachers might not even want to decline if they knew that they were getting that offer to come visit us here at Masjidun Ahl Sunnah. I thought that these were some of the benefits, and maybe the last benefit that was in particular, that as I try to do at most of the conferences, is to sit down with the people who are in charge of these conferences or the organizers of these conferences, and to benefit from them administratively and how they run their conferences, what are their goals and objectives of their conferences, what did they find that was beneficial in that particular conference or in any of the particular conferences that are held by any one of the organizations. What do they find were some of their bad points and whatever. And to hear some of that, it's always good, because whatever is good, we can bring it back with us to EO and to benefit the rest of the Muslims. And if we found something that was negative or not beneficial from the people, then we could always be aware of it ourselves. This is what I found as a little summary of the conference there. The topic of that conference was, I forgot. Nobody remembers? A reawakening or something. At any rate, I forgot to bring the tapes back as I normally do. No one was traveling with me to make sure that we got the tapes and brought them back to our bookstore. But inshallah ta'ala, the tapes will be available soon. Inshallah ta'ala, I guess that's the best I can say. Hopefully on Saturday we'll bring the tapes back from Philadelphia. I know that they got them. And then we'll make those tapes available here, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. I don't know if anybody had any questions on the conference or whatever. If not, we'll move on to the next topic. Yeah. Was there an estimated number of the attendants that was there at the conference? No. I didn't know of that number myself, but sometimes it looks like our five salat here. About that. Nah. And of the three organizations that have been to their conferences that say that they call to the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of our Salaf al-Saleh, their conferences were all around the numbers of our Salat, or at the biggest, like our Jumu'ah crowd from the conferences that I participated in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best to the exact number. I'm just going by looking at this crowd and looking at that crowd, as we all make salat together, and we're all there together eating and what have you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. In light of that, some of the people have blamed some of the conferences, because you say, if it's like a salatul fajr at the masjid, then why do you have to do all of that? You just handle it at a salatul fajr. Or if it's like the crowd of Jumu'ah, then just make sure that it's on a day of Jumu'ah, and then hold the conference right there in the masjid. But these conferences, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, they had began at a time when Islam was not widespread like the numbers we see right now. Or, Allah knows best, that the people who set up these conferences were in areas where the number of Muslims were small, and that they were catering to the smaller number of Muslims. So what we feel is a normal Salatul Fajr, other people feel like Eid. And even some of the brothers that I remember visiting us when we were on Lincoln Street, and they were saying, like, at an Asr or a Dhuhr or something, like, subhanallah, man, your Salatul Fajr is like our Jumu'ah, you know? And really, our Salatul Fajr has been bigger than some of the Jumu'ahs that I performed at some of the masjids, which have been even smaller than just our five Salat here. But it isn't, Allah knows best, I don't look at it in light that some of the brothers look, as a point to criticize the conference, because it was set up to benefit the people. And we only look at it as the spread of Islam, and that Islam is still growing in areas. That if it's large in one area and it's smaller in another area, that those areas that it's smaller in, that they're growing, inshallah ta'ala, and that they need help just like the other areas, even if the help is simply a statement, move from that area to an area where there's more Muslims. Nah. I don't know if there are any other comments or questions. Yes. Can we explain the part of? We did it already. I'll mention it again when we go to the next part, inshallah. Yes, sir. Yes. I forgot all about that. SubhanAllah. JazakAllah khair. And I even forgot the portfolio that I got. The brother asked me, did I visit any of the masjids there? I visited the Islamic Center of Tampa, or Tampa Bay. And mashallah, they had just completed this year, as a matter of fact. They just completed building their masjid. They had a small masjid, and then they built a big masjid. The masjid was about half of the size of Masjid al-Sunnah or a little bigger, and it was full on Jumu'ah. That crowd was like our crowd on Jumu'ah, if it wasn't more. Because the women were on the second floor. The masjid was like this, and then they had the second floor, and then they had the second floor, and they had the second floor. It's like a hint that we have to build our second floor here. Where the women were up there on the second floor. Now, and mashallah, the masjid was nice looking. It was basic, simple, clean. Alhamdulillah. And they had in their portfolio something that I thought was beneficial, I wanted to mention. They had like a strip of film, like the negatives, on the front of the portfolio, and they were doing before and to finish. Like the pictures of what it looked like when they started with just the blank land, and then the foundation, and then all the way to the finish. And it might have been nice for us to do something like that. Also, they had their three estimates of what it would cost to build the masjid. 2 point whatever million, 1.7, 1.4. I'm not exact on my figures. I read it something like that. And they wind up finishing the whole project with around $780,000. Now, and they were saying that these were our estimates on what it would cost to build this masjid, and we did it ourselves, walhamdulillah. And I was saying it could be a nice encouragement for us that, you know, to stay in it and to continue finishing off the project of Masjid al-Sunnah and the Islamic Center of America. There was another masjid that I didn't visit that I heard about, and the brothers told me don't mention it because it might make the people lazy. So I won't mention it. Yes. Who is the imam of that masjid? It was a difference of an opinion. The one who gave the khutbah was not the imam of the masjid. All of us agreed to that. Some said it was an imam, and there was an imam for that masjid, and others said that it wasn't imam, but that the board just chooses people from time to time to handle whatever they handle, but the board actually runs the facility. No. Allah knows best. No. I don't know if there was any other comments or questions around the conference in Tampa or conferences in general. No. Okay. This is similar to the hadith that we're mentioning, the hadith of Jibreel. And this is an explanation that stems from the talk that if the brothers transcribe it, we'll get a better translation of it, inshallah ta'ala. The talk from our Shaykh Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini. And I'm just going to summarize his talk in a couple of points. He taught us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the people. And that if Allah tests you and you're truthful to Allah, then Allah would make you victorious and successful in passing that test. Basically, I think this was what his talk was about. And then he filled it in. When I heard his talk, I felt like his talk was directed to us. I mean, he was talking to us, and then I felt like he was really talking to us. As the Sheikh was giving the example of the people being tested, if we looked at the example of Badr, and the Muslims being the minority, and the Muslims being small in their numbers, and it seems like no way to defeat the Kufar, and the Kufar were harming the Muslims and what have you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them victorious because of their belief and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their sincerity to this deen. So I had asked the Shaykh a question as I felt that the Shaykh's talk was directed to us. As our masjid has become popularly known and many of the people have attacked us on many of occasions, with some of the positions that we've taken, in particular or just our general position of calling to the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding and the practical application of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'in and the ulama of this deen. So I had asked the Shaykh afterwards in private, Shaykh, we've found, unfortunately, from the hands or the mouths of people who say that they're calling to exactly what we're calling to, we found so much harm from those people as they talk bad about us, and they lied on us, and other things. Are you saying that what you said in your talk, you're going to be tested and there's no escape, but when you're tested, if you're truthful to Allah, then Allah would make you victorious in the end? So what you should concern yourselves with, if you're being tested, is being truthful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being patient with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has you to be tested with, and knowing and believing that in the end Allah would give victory to those people who were truthful to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh, he said exactly. So I know for myself, and I hope that this is the case for the brothers and the sisters at Masjid al-Sunnah in general, that there's comfort for us if the people have been talking about us, bad-mouthing us on many of the occasions, that our response is really to remain firm on this deen, to be truthful and sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then to leave the final affairs to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that will judge, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that will either give His victory to those deserving servants from among Him, who He so pleases, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would do otherwise. And He's the all-knower and the most wise. And this is what I wanted to present. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. هَذَا وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ وَبَارَكَ لَنَبِيْنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمُ. I don't know if there was any other comments or questions around the Shaykh's talk. You understand the explanation of the hadith now? You sure? I hope, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that the presence of the Shaykh Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini in particular, as well as the presence of the other students of knowledge and shuyukh who have visited our masjid, with the likes of our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Maqsood, or the Shaykh Muhammad Hassan, or the Shaykh Salim al-Hilali, or the Shaykh Muhammad Musa Nasr, or from the professors of the University of Medina who have visited us, Muhammad Afifi and Muhammad Ghadban, and what's his first name? From the people who have visited our masjid here, Masjid al-Sunnah, or those who have visited us before that with Abdullah al-Utaybi and the Shaykh Muhammad Safwat Nuruddin, who had visited us when we were there at Masjid Rawdatullah, Islamic Center of East Orange, and Sheikh Majdi Warda, who had visited us from Mecca, and the Sheikh Abdul Rahim Ar-Rushud, who had visited us and had the Salat with us, Tarawih, last week, and the other people who have visited us that may have forgotten their names now, but that I hope that this is, Allah knows best, an acceptance from the people on this earth, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. As when I heard that Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini was coming to the States for the first time, someone had mentioned it to me And it was as if he was making mockery of me, or as if he was making mockery of us with his statement. Your Sheikh, Abu Abdullah Mustafa ibn al-Adawi, and the Sheikh Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini, they have been confirmed, and both of them are coming to the States. And then he waited for me to respond. MashaAllah, it's nice that they're coming. And where are they going if they come? They're going to Texas, of course. Okay. If you see them, give them my salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I have felt from that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in anybody's heart, but with the air and the way things have been going lately, I understood his statement like, you know, we are the ones who will get to see the sheikhs, not you all. You're like, you're not worthy of seeing the shuyukh, or something like that. And subhanallah al-azim, Allah had just decreed that the sheikh was in the area, and he happened to see someone from our masjid. And just as they were making the circle private, the sheikh said, no, I know that brother, let him in. One of the brothers from Masjid Ahl al-Sunnah. And when they let that brother in, he said, Sheikh, visit us at our masjid. With, of course, alaykum salam wa barakatuh, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and probably the encouragement and the advice of some of the other brothers for the sheikh to come visit us at our masjid. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And I kind of felt that whether the people make mockery or fun of us or whatever, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good, then nobody can stop it. If Allah wants good, no one can stop it. And we ask Allah to write good for us here at our masjid, and to let our masjid be a masjid that welcomes and invites and actually has in it the scholar of knowledge from those who are calling to the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of our Salaf al-Saleh. Na'am. Brothers just mentioning that, alhamdulillah, that the shuyukh had only had the opportunity to visit two masjids, and Masjid Ahl al-Sunnah was the first one, and then Masjid Tawheed in Jersey City, and that the sheikh, even though the people wanted to bring him to New York or to keep him in New York, that he insisted that he come to Masjid Ahl al-Sunnah, walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And even that statement, it reminds me of a statement that I had said jokingly. And this is no offense to any of the brothers. May Allah forgive me if I am offensive. I was saying jokingly that at the time that Allah is going to allow Isa to come back to this earth, that if New York is still alive and running, that Isa would beg Allah, not until you have taken care of New York. Because there's no establishment of this deen in that city. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمِ. Even if so many shuyukh have come through that place, it's as if Islam can't be established in New York. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establish Islam on His earth, New York and other places. Except that I just can't imagine with my limited imagination. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Don't tell the brothers in New York on me.